We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. The line goes something like this. It was midnight in the city that keeps its secrets. And like in all cities, there are quite a few out-of-the-way and forgotten corners of Milwaukee. Some are hidden in plain sight, others take a bit of sleuthing. And as Bobby Tanzillo found out, some of them require no fear of spiders, heights, or closed spaces to access. By day, Tanzillo is the managing editor of OnMilwaukee.com, but his passion may just be in exploring all the places in town you never thought you could get to. And his new book, Hidden History of Milwaukee, showcases a number of them. He joins me in the studio now. Hey, Bobby, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thanks, Bonnie. It's great to be here.
Hidden History of Milwaukee. This is a great book because I sat down and learned so much about Milwaukee. And one of the things I learned was that it seemed like doing this book involved you either climbing up very, very tall things or going very, very deep into the ground most of the time.
Yes, not always. You know, what I liked about doing it was that, like you reading it, I was learning about Milwaukee as I went. I mean, I sort of went to these places with no preconceived notions, but I guess my preconceived notions were like everybody else. You go past this place, it's nice, it's a landmark, and you move on, keep going. And I just decided kind of spur of the moment to call this place or call that place and say, can I come see it? And there was always a story to be had, you know, when you go to these places, and often a story I had no idea existed. In some cases, like Lake Emily under Northwestern Mutual, I went because I wanted to see what could be seen of this lake or retention pond or whatever it technically was there on the site, because I knew a little bit about that story. But even when I went there, I found out all kinds of things I didn't know, like this thing they call Little Egypt, which is an old sort of grand staircase that's still there, but now it's underground. You walk in there and you go into this big open space, and here's this beautiful staircase, and there's nobody there, and it's dark.
And how far underground are you at that point?
Maybe the grade is about maybe 18 to 20 feet above your head.
So Lake Emily is underneath the Northwestern Mutual main building, is that correct?
Yes, and I think – and a little bit behind it, but that doesn't really matter so much anymore, you know, because there had been a building, an addition put on behind it that's no longer there, although the basement is still there. The basement of that building is still there.
And they still use it.
Yes.
One of the things that, of course, I didn't even think about until I was reading the book was that when Wisconsin Avenue was actually like a tributary into the lake.
Yeah, right.
And so that Lake Emily, which whatever – whether it's a pond or whatever – existed long before we were building in Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah, it was basically a place that sort of filled up, I think, when it rained. Do you know what I mean? I think there was always water there from what I can tell, but it never seemed like it got super deep.
So it wasn't like there was water all the time, but
no,
it
but
would
people
fill
remember
up.
Like people remember, you know, you can find memoirs where people talk about having gone swimming there and things. So it was deep enough to do that at times, you know. But I'm not sure it was technically a lake. You
okay.
Know, there seems to be a lot of discussion about, if you go back and look at different sources, about whether or not it was actually a lake or just a retention pond, sort of like a natural kind of collecting place for water.
Awfully close to Lake Michigan to be another lake.
Yeah, and if you look at – there's a painting that used to – when I worked at the Sentinel, it hung in the Sentinel newsroom. But now it's at the County Historical Society, I believe. And it's a painting that shows Wisconsin Avenue – at that time, and you can see Wisconsin Avenue where the roadbed is now was sort of a gully, and water would run down and then run from there into the lake. And this was sort of right adjacent to that. So I think it was all part of that kind of natural system of runoff there.
It sounded like you had to get quite a lot of permission to get down as far down as you got to go, although not quite to the lake.
No, not quite to the lake, although I think I got as close to the lake as anybody can get. That's what they said. We went in the basement. And, you know, they open these – they have these holes in the ground, and they can open them, and you look down, you can see a little bit of water. And if you can see water, everything's good, because the water has to be there to prevent the pilings, the wooden pilings that hold the building up, from rotting away. So then I thought that was as close as we can get. But then the guy who took me around said, oh, there's one more place we can go. And he opened a hatch in the floor, and he said, after you. And, you know, when somebody opens a hatch in the floor, I go in. So – we went down, and that's like a sub-basement that you can't even – we couldn't stand up in it. We had to sort of bend maybe three quarters. And then that's as close as you can get. So there you're about 4 feet closer to it. So at that point, you're maybe 4 feet above the actual waterline.
The book is full of places around Milwaukee that are like this, but let's go – unfortunately, we're staying still on Wisconsin Avenue with this, and I want to get out of like downtown, but this is like an iconic thing, which is the Gaslight.
Oh, that which was fun.
And so this is
really fun.
From going all the way down underneath, now you're all the way to the top, or
yeah.
Could you get to the top?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The hardest part about that was climbing through the spider webs to get to the
– I have to say, you're braver than I.
Because they had spiders in them. You know, otherwise, yeah. I wouldn't really mind. In the lobby of that building, it's like walking into – almost like walking into the Empire State Building or Rockefeller Center. The lobby in there is a beautiful Art Deco lobby, which is really nice. But then you can go up to the top and you can go out onto the roof, and then you climb up the platform that the flame is on. And then the best part is you can kind of stick your head in the flame.
Can you really?
Yeah, it's just a big – I'm not sure if it's glass or – I think it was plastic. You can kind of stick your head in there and see the lights in there. So it's great that it's still there, and I know they're working on trying to get it to be lit up a little more often than it is now.
Right. You said something about LEDs, trying to change it over to LEDs.
Yeah, I think it's a budgetary
thing.
It's expensive to keep light bulbs running in there all the time.
So you've gone to the Heights, mm-hmm. and I know there were a few other things, like you went to the top of St. Jehoshaphat.
Yes, which was really one of the first things I did that kind of got me interested in doing this. Not long before that, I went with Molly Snyder at On Milwaukee. All of these, by the way, I wrote for onmilwaukee.com, where I'm the managing editor, and I get to do these things because I work at the place that lets me do all these things, you know. I work with Molly, and she got the opportunity to go to the top of the Allen Bradley Clock Tower. And I always wanted to go up. I heard there was like a room up there that they use as a party room, and we got to do that, but we also got to go outside all the way at the top at the base of the flagpole. And that's just exhilarating. The wind is blowing. It's a beautiful day. So when we got asked about going up to the top of St. Josephat, I said, sure, you know, let's do this. And they made me sign a waiver. And, you know, usually when I've signed waivers, I've thought, well, why did they make me sign that? You know, but here you're climbing up these wooden ladders that were built for workmen when they built the dome. And they go sort of straight up in 12 feet into darkness. You don't know where you're going. You get up there, and then there's another one. And you end up crawling across the dome on this sort of a ladder. But it's, you know, it follows the curve of the dome. So you're on all fours really going up this ladder. And you get to the top, and there's that oculus that is just open. There's nothing covering it. That goes straight down to the floor of the sanctuary of the church. So that's a little
quite a far
creepy.
Way down.
And then you can keep going up. And so when I did that one, I thought, that's the kind of place they really want you to sign a waiver, and they're smart to do that. But that – it became addictive to me then. I really just – you know, after that, I got a chance to go up to City Hall, and then I did the City Hall thing, and the art museum said, oh, you got to come up and come out on the wings. And so I did that, and one thing just would sort of lead to another.
As you said, these were all columns at On Milwaukee. And so how long did it take you to have all these adventures so that you could put them into a book?
I think I have been doing a maybe – about 2 years now.
Okay.
Probably about 2 years. And they keep coming. There's been a bunch since the book. And every now, you know, now and then I write one and I think, oh, I wish I would have had time. I would have been able to get that done.
Have to do a second
book. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There is one in here that I really like because it's not really about a building. And that's the rare book room.
Oh, at the library.
At the library.
Which also has the great architectural archive on the same floor. The stuff they have there is just incredible. And what's really nice about it now, though, is some of the things in the book people can't really do. They're not open to the public. But the rare books room, although it's not open for walk-ins, you can make an appointment and you can go look at anything in there. These things belong to us, you know. There are just some incredible treasures in there. And the librarians who are in charge of that collection are super passionate about it. And the most amazing thing is this book, this huge oversized book that they put together to raise money to build one of the statues that's out in the Court of Honor in front of the library there. And Captain Pabst ended up buying the book, you know, to raise money for this thing. But this book has just hundreds and hundreds of handwritten messages and signatures from all kinds of famous people of the era. There's presidents, there's musicians, John Philip Sousa, there's Mark Twain.
Oh, this is the autograph book.
This is the autograph book.
Yeah.
And it's incredible because, like, Twain wrote a few lines, a verse, and the artists would sign their name, but then they'd make a little sketch next to it. And it's really just an incredible, incredible thing.
Well, as you said, a lot of the things that you did, most of us aren't going to be able to do. You got special permission. Of the things that people can do other than the library, what would you recommend from the book?
You can take a tour of the bell tower of City Hall people can do that. You can just go to City Hall, and I don't know if they do it on the spot or if you have to make an appointment, but that's a great thing to do because usually they'll let you ring the bell too.
Oh, cool.
Which is nice. And now our office is now across the street from City Hall, and at random times during the day I'll hear the bell ringing and I'll say, ah, somebody's getting a tour.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can do that, and that's incredible. With all due respect to the Art Museum, that's really the icon of Milwaukee architecture, I think. That's until the Art Museum was built, that was the building everybody, thanks to Laverne and Shirley maybe, that everybody associated with Milwaukee.
So, and it's a beautiful building.
Oh, and it's a beautiful building. And what's great about it is the first place you go when you go on that tour is you go to the first steps that go up to the top are an old apartment. A caretaker lived in that bell tower, and at least one kid was raised up there who later got a job for the city. I mentioned it in the
Very thing. Cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that's public?
Because
I'm assuming that people are going to read this and go, God, I want to go see that.
Well, you know, actually, a number of these things. You could go Wisconsin Club. You can go to the Wisconsin Club and eat usually. And
that's an
domes.
Amazing building too. And certainly
yes,
the domes.
And the domes. You can, of course, see the Art Museum, but you can't go to the top. The World's Fair Pavilion that Pabst built for Chicago in 1893 is the entry to the Pabst Mansion now. So you can't go to the Pabst Mansion without going through it. So you have to. That's one you definitely can go to. Some places like, you know, some of the churches I wrote about, St. Paul's, you can go in, you know, and if they're closed, usually there's somebody there that'll let you in and look.
Well, Bobby, it has been great having you in the studio. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Bonnie.
When he isn't finding hidden parts of Milwaukee to scale, climb, or dive into, Bobby Tanzillo is the managing editor of OnMilwaukee.com, and his book, Hidden History of Milwaukee, is published by the History Press. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks, as always, for tuning in today. We're looking forward to having you join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Fresh air comes your way next. Stay tuned.